Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Let me tell you who our special guest is this hour. He's our friend Jim Ballard. Jim Ballard is the author of What's the Rush? Step Out of the Race, Free Your Mind, Change Your Life. He is also a management consultant, a leadership trainer, a motivational speaker, and a consulting partner with the Ken Blanchard Companies. And Jim has been with us once before, and we're going to get Jim to help us to be able to navigate this blur that has become our personal and our professional lives. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. That's a good way to describe it, really, as a blur. And when you were talking before in the lead-up about how do we manage to change hats between home and work or personal and professional life? I think that's one of the most challenging areas for people today. And for small business owners, I think one of the things that it's worth talking about is how to support people in their work-life dilemmas.
Mm-hmm. What are you talking about, like employees or friends?
Yeah, employees.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend and co-author, co-designer of training, Barbara Perman, and I designed a course, a work family course that we've been marketing to businesses, and it's really an effort to get businesses to say hey to their people, hey, it means a lot. We're concerned about your keeping your balance mm-hmm. between these two worlds. We're not just trying to bleed you dry here at work, but I really think the bottom line of it is that companies can do no wrong if they pay more attention to supporting people's home life, because obviously they're supporting their work life and they're asking and demanding a lot there. But the more concern and care and interest that they show to these moms and dads who are coming, you know, both of them in most cases these days, even a very small children.
Now you're not
work
talking,
every day.
You're not talking about being nosy and getting involved in the details of their lives as much as you are just providing them with the fundamental support that you know any family, any person that you have employed by you would be likely to need. In other words, like if you have a lady working for you and she has small children, you don't have to know all the details of how she manages that, but make it available if she needs time off or if she needs help with daycare or something like that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, I think I'm talking about that in an informal way, in an ongoing way, and to be very personal about it. I'm also saying that company owners and directors and managers spend a great deal of time and money training their employees to do a better job. Am I right?
Yes.
In various ways?
Yes.
Well, one of the ways that they can train them to do a better job is to actually train them to handle this work-family balancing act even better. I think there are courses out there, there are books out there, there are formal ways, in other words, that they can supply their people with information about how to manage this thing better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my friend and I have tried to come up with and design is a course that companies could sponsor that would help people solve this. So there's a lot of ways that we can do it, and you mentioned a lot of them, to free up time, to show concern to sometimes, you know, family leave policies. And I really think that companies go through several phases of becoming sensitized to this. A lot of companies are doing nothing. That's sort of, you know, phase zero. And then when you get to phase one, it's sort of like they're waking up and they're starting to pay attention to this. But there's two or three phases beyond that where they can get really involved without being nosy, like you say.
Well, one of the things that happens when you've got small companies, let's say you got a company with half a dozen people, when someone takes off, that really ripples through that organization.
Well, you said it.
And an owner has to really be, really take the blinders off and really focus on what's going on in your company. Sure, it's important that person stay at work, But it's also important that employee, when they come back to work, that they're happy that they're there, and that you don't lose them because of the way that you treated them. I have had employees who needed to be gone for 3 or 4 days with their children to some kind of a major event in their children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it cost my company. It actually was detrimental to the company for that person to be gone at that period of time. But how was I going to say to that person, you can't go and be at this pivotal point in your child's life? How could I do that? I wasn't able to do it.
I don't think you could, Jim, and be a good person, be a good manager. In other words, you might defray that cost at the time, but you might keep and further motivate a really good person by doing so.
Well,
in other words, lose the battle, win the war.
Yeah.
You might really enlist the services of that person, because if that were me, I would be saying, you know, I don't know another boss, I don't know another company that I could do this, that would allow me this.
Mm-hmm.
This really means a lot to me, and when I get back to work, I'm giving it my all.
Well, and one of the things you can do from a practical standpoint to help you be this good person, this good boss, as you call it, and not hurt the company as much, is to make sure that you let your employees know, if you have these kinds of things coming up, give us as much notice as possible so that we all have time to take up the slack, so to speak.
In that regard, I think it's a very good idea to have employees, if it's a small company, sit down together, or if it's a little bit larger company, have units of groups or teams,
mm-hmm.
sit down together and design a calendar, do something different than they usually do with the calendar. The
mm-hmm.
calendar that hangs in the office or the department usually just depicts those kinds of company events that are coming up.
Our special guest is Jim Ballard. He is the author of the book I'm holding in my hand called What's the Rush? Step out of the race, free your mind, change your life. Jim, tell us where we can get the book.
Well, I always move people toward the bookstores because they have it, or they can order it if you walk in and they don't have a copy. But also the folks online do a great job of on pricing and getting the books to you. So Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com are great.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that, and by the way, folks, as you know, I only bring authors on my show whose books I have seen, have held in my hand, have reviewed, and feel that they are worthy of your time and money. This is one of those books. What's the Rush? Step Out of the Race, Free Your Mind, Change Your Life by James Ballard. And I want to congratulate you, by the way, James, on the book. One of the things that I really like to focus on as often as I can in the show is balance, how to maintain the balance in our lives as small business owners, as entrepreneurs, in this fast-paced world. I mean, look at the marketplace is changing so rapidly, and our culture is changing at the same time. We're getting hit from both sides, aren't we, Jim? We're getting hit from our professional side in the marketplace, and we're getting hit from our personal side in our culture. I mean, there's no other place in the world where the marketplace and the culture changes as rapidly as in the United States.
Yeah, it's just we've got to make unpredictability our friend,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of our enemy. I mean, because you can get knocked over or at least swayed daily by forces that you didn't even know were there or weren't on their way. And I think somehow we have to find the grace to enjoy keeping our balance the way we did when we were kids. Did you ever walk the railroad tracks and see who could stay on the longest?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was a lot of fun. And we can get some of that back if we stop thinking, well, things should be stable. I shouldn't have to deal with this much stuff. You know, that kind of victim-y, whiny attitude that you can get inside of yourself when you're handling so many balls in the air. On the other hand, if you reframe that and turn that over, you can make this a fun kind of a ball game. It's certainly a challenge, and challenge or even crisis has both the elements of a danger and adventure, or opportunity to it. So I think the opportunity here is to train ourselves by all these daily forces that are buffeting us. how to go with them, how not to depend on things or expect things. The only way you can be disappointed is to expect something. So if we can kind of have goals, set plans and so on, but live in the moment, I think that's the trick.
And that's whether you are an employee, whether you are an owner, regardless of what you do in life, whether you're a homemaker or whatever you might be, you've got to look at life as an adventure. You've got to look at life as something that's going to change rapidly and learn how to embrace that. But I'll tell you, it's creating problems for some people. They don't like to move that fast.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, Jim, one of the anchors we can have is our values. The clearer that we can get on why we're here, our purpose, and review that daily. We talked about this the first time I was on.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have those outer anchors as we used to or imagined that we did once. We've got to have them very, very clearly on the inside so that you can change the way you do business, but you don't have to change what you stand for.
What are some of those anchors?
Well, I think you can sit down and list your top three values. I mean, here's a bunch of values. They're just words. Truth, honesty, friendship, integrity, customer service, creativity, fun, profit, whatever it is.
Family,
find out what your three top values are, rank order them, put them in the front of your planner, and every day review them and say, something I'm going to do today, or two or three things, are going to have to hook on to these values, or I'm not going to go to bed a satisfied person tonight.
Okay, how would we identify, in finding those three, I mean, when you named off six or eight, I could think of four or five more.
Oh, you can think of 50 values.
But what I was going to say, what would be a way of saying, okay, these are my three, would you say, these are the three things that I want someone to think of me when they think of these three?
Yeah. Or another way is you can do this as a family. You can do it as a team.
Yeah.
You can say, what are the values that are our operating values, the way we treat each other?
I think that's a good idea, is to involve other people in this thing. Jim Ballard, there's another book that you were telling me about that sort of covers some of the things that you and I were just talking about, called Managing by Values by Ken Blanchard.
Yes, and his co-author there is Michael O'Connor. That's a very good book because it's a narrative. It's a little fable of a businessman who changes his business around and bases it on values. But it's very much about the process that we ended up talking about involving everybody in it. For instance, if you and I were sitting in a group with our teammates, and somebody directing this said, okay, pair up, and you and I sat facing each other and there are other pairs around the room, and we did this top three values that we talked about before, actually choosing from a whole list of maybe 50 values, circling them and writing our top three at the bottom. Then the leader says, you have 5 minutes to come up between the six values that, you know, the three each that you have. You have to come up with three only in the next 5 minutes. Go. And you and I would negotiate that, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other pairs in the room would, too. Next thing, the guy gets pairs together and says, now you got to come up with three in 10 minutes. And two on two, four on four. Pretty soon, the whole group agrees on their three top values.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole process of doing that is in the book. So I think it's a useful...
So it becomes kind of an internal mission statement for them.
That's right. And
yeah.
Everybody buys in, everybody creates it, so nobody's forcing it on them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Another really important thing for each person to come up with, which companies call their mission statement, that's based on the values, but it's a little bit different, as you know, is a personal mission statement. So I really advocate that everybody, we were talking about internal anchors before being values, I think if you have a personal mission statement, you write it in the front of your planner, you put it on your dashboard, on your mirror, in your Palm Pilot, whatever, you know, you look at, it'll remind you of that. Then every night when you go to sleep, if you can remember that what that is and think back and connect some of the things you've done that day to your personal mission statement, then you can go to sleep happy.
Exactly. I like that because, you know, companies write mission statements. Sometimes they hire firms to write mission statements, and it's about The mission statement is more about marketing than it is about really making a statement. And most of that statement, it revolves around what we're going to do for our customers, and that's a very important and a very essential component of the company have that. But
sure it is.
But there's got to be this internal anchor, as you say, inside the company that defines the individuals, the owner and the employees inside the company, that defines them, that defines who they are and how they will react and how they will act around each other. So I like your exercise there, Jim.
It's got to become something that defines how they operate daily. The book also, just the last piece about managing by values, the book describes a way that when somebody thinks that somebody else in the company, the boss or whoever, isn't living up to one of the three values that they chose together, that person can call a halt and say, we need a POPS.
Has the
personal,
right.
Personal problem-solving session, because both people in the situation have previously co-created and committed to that value.
Mm-hmm.
So once you have values, the whole thing becomes gaps, closing gaps, because you and I don't live up to our values. We talk a lot, but we walk differently, and that's just human. But if we have a way of correcting ourselves to course, then that's useful. Now, we also wanted to talk about kind of think time, didn't we?
Yeah, let's talk about let's get into some of the balance issues One
of the ways that we exhaust ourselves, we fall into bed absolutely dead tired every night and get up and hit the ground running, is not to have any time in our lives to reflect.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I ask people, is there a greater or a less need for reflection when things are moving fast? Everybody says there's a greater need. And then I say, is there more time or less time when things are moving fast for reflection? And they say less. See, there's a greater need and there's less time. It's a paradox.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody's going to give you that reflection time unless you've got a smart boss or a business owner who says, it's really okay to put your feet up. It's really okay to kind of contemplate your navel once in a while. We're not always going to go by your where you are and say, what are you doing just sitting there? See, I think the new rule is don't just do something, stand there. And because we've got to err on the side of reflection time, because it's always being taken away from us.
Well, that's kind of a new paradigm for businesses, I think, today, because in the old days, I remember one of my first jobs, I was working with some guys and we took a break. Well, I had grown up on the farm where you never took a break.
Right.
And so you never got a break. And so we were taking a break. Well, the boss comes walking up and I jumped up. It scared me to death. I said, he's going to fire us because we're just sitting here. We're taking a break. And they said, hey, you deserve a break. You've got one coming.
You're supposed to have one.
And I didn't know what that meant. But I think today people should have time. Employees should have time to think. Now, obviously, not to wander off and daydream about something else, but to focus on thinking about the company and what they're doing in their company. Jim, we were talking about balance, and you were talking about how to balance the busy time from the think time. We were talking about how to help our employees, how to let our employees have a little bit of time to think instead of just reacting to everything. And you had some thoughts on how we could actually do that.
Well, it's a very tricky issue because, as you said, from your own personal story, it's the difference between loafing and thinking, But the dilemma that we have, the thing that really pushes in the people in this direction and organizations, is that we can be very much as business owners like the two guys flying through the night fog, and you've got a pilot and a navigator, and the pilot says, what's our position? And the other guy says, I've got good news and bad news. And he says, well, what's the bad news? And he says, we're hopelessly lost. And he says, well, what's the good news? He says, we're making good time. The thing about this is we could be making very good time and be off course. And unless we have the reflection time, we don't have a chance to get up above it or step back from it and say, what the heck are we doing? What is this all about? Where are we going? And usually that's been the prerogative of the business owner, and all the grunts aren't supposed to participate in that. But it's no longer with the flattening of organizations, whether they're large or small. You want people participating in the thinking.
Well, another thing that prohibits and prevents this from being available, this kind of think time available to employees, is the fact that a lot of owners don't have time to think. They don't take the time to think.
Mm-hmm.
Their entire world is a reaction.
And if they don't take time to think, and if they're always reacting instead of acting, what are they modeling for their people? You know.
And it's the definition of crisis management.
That's right. You're always just handling the fallout from yesterday or last week, and you're not being proactive. So one of the definite ways to keep balance is not to fall forward if you do have something that isn't pushing against you for even a minute, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the creating, the building in of thinking time. A lot of times when people say, well, how can we do this? I my first thing is get up earlier in the morning, and people go, oh, come on. And I say, well, you know, 20 minutes, and then go to bed 20 minutes earlier if that's a problem. But unless you enter your day rather than hit the ground running, you're already in trouble when you hit the ground running. You're already reacting. You know?
I really like the idea that we talked about earlier. I'm trying to think about how to get this built into your organization, how to get this to become part of your organizational process. And I really like the idea of maybe starting out by doing it together. And once people learn how to do it together, then maybe they'll do it when they're not together.
There's various ways to operationalize it. Sometimes people can't think when they're together. I like the together too, because you can start it off as kind of a training and have maybe a week of early morning 15-minute sessions.
Another thing you could do, what I was thinking of, was you could say, okay, now folks, a week from today, we're going to have lunch in the building. We're going to turn the phones off. We're going to have lunch in the building. I'm buying lunch, and we're just going to talk about some things.
That's right. Another company that I heard about has alone quiet time for 1 hour. I don't know when they do it, 10 to 11 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It means you don't go and visit people. They're allowed to be in their own space. They're still working and everything,
mm-hmm.
but you don't hear any noise in the building because people are quiet. It's sort of like, a retreat time. And when it's quieter, there's more inducement to think, to go inside, because that's where the thinking goes on. It doesn't go on so much when people are you don't reflect openly.
I'm chuckling a little bit, Jim, because I know people. I know there are people who are listening who have businesses, and they're saying, "Think, my business is a beehive. We could charge admission to this
uh-huh.
place. People would come and watch us because it's so crazy here. How can we think? How can we have any kind of retreat time?" There are people who are saying that, and what we're saying is this is something you're not going to accomplish all at once. You're going to have to take it incrementally. And I do think, though, that if the boss will learn, if the owner will learn to have some time to think, and if that person, if that boss or that owner does that and decides that it's a good thing, then if it's good for you, it's good for your employees.
I think the beginning of it is actually valuing it, you know,
yep.
saying this is worth some effort, and then starting in a small way. And to tell another ridiculous story that'll make your crazy people crazier, there's an owner, a CEO guy, or a department manager, actually, who goes in every morning and hangs a sign. This is a couple of days a week. It isn't every morning. Hangs a sign on this door, but people have become used to seeing it in conference till 10:30. And you know what? His people know that there's nobody else in there. But he's in conference with himself.
Yeah.
You have to kind of, you know, structure that time away. Let me tell you what Ken Blanchard does. He's my best buddy.
You got 30 seconds.
I'm sorry?
We got just a few seconds before we take a break.
Okay. He calls himself CSO, Chief Spiritual Officer. When we come back, I want to tell you how he does it.
Yeah, I want to talk. You've got some things to tell us about how to balance your body and your spirit. And I'm looking forward to that. We're visiting with Jim Ballard. Actually, on the book, it says James Ballard. The book is called What's the Rush? Step Out of the Race, Free Your Mind, Change Your Life. It's a book that I recommend to you folks. It will help you. There's a lot of great stuff in here that we haven't even touched on today. But, Jim, by the way, I'd like for you to give us your email address in case anyone would like to contact you.
Okay, it's the word Dream Runner, but it's spelled a little funny. D-R-E-M-R-U-N-R runner@aol.com.
It looks like Dream Runner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even runner is R-U-N-R, so some
yes.
of the vowels are left out.
And if they want to go there, if they'll send you a note, you'll send them a copy of your newsletter, right?
I have a newsletter called The Balance Beam. And
it's excellent.
You're real welcome to, it comes out every 2 weeks free, and just let me know if you want it.
Give him an email, folks, and he'll send it to you. It's an excellent. It's one of my favorites. I look forward to it every 2 weeks. Let's wrap up the hour by talking about how to balance our body and our spirit, Jim.
Well, organizationally, I was wanting to talk to you about my friend Ken Blanchard, who's the CSO of our Blanchard Training,
mm-hmm.
Chief Spiritual Officer. Ken does a lot more things, as you know. He's always out there on the road talking, and he's in a bunch of newsletters and publications and. And he and I are starting, co-authoring another book. But every single morning, Ken gets on everybody's email. He gives a global email from wherever he is, and he travels around. So he starts off saying, "Good morning, this is Ken, and I'm in so-and-so." And lately he was up at his lake in upstate New York, Skinny Atlas, and broadcasting from there. But he gives a morning devotional. Now, that might sound religious to some of you, and it is, but it's for unbelievers too. In other words, I was a little, and he was a little leery about whether people would take to this in the organization, especially since it's coming from the top guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he reads an inspirational thing. Sometimes it's humor. Sometimes it's focused on things like forgiveness or sincerity. It usually has a little theme to it. But people have grown to expect that. So when you open up your email, your voicemail in the morning, and it's always urgent, so you know it's going to start off, "This is Ken Blanchard," then you can sit down and you can get this, and everybody else in the company is doing it too, get this little heart focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, that thing by itself, that alone, gives people a little bit of reflection time, a little bit of spiritual push, a little bit of values-based.
If it's only for a few seconds.
It only goes on as long as the voicemail will last, and usually he doesn't take up the whole time.
Well,
usually about 2 minutes.
But even after that, after you're through, it doesn't. That's the thing about nurturing your spirit. If once you learn how to do it, it doesn't take a long time. You can do it in 3 or 4 seconds.
Sure. That's it. It's just a little shot.
Yeah.
But nurture is the right word, because so often as in business, we're nurturing the head, not the heart. We're nurturing the hands, the hands and feet, the doingness and not the beingness.
Yeah.
And so what Ken has done this 2 weeks that he's away, he's out of the country, is he asked on one of his morning times, whoever would like to take a day at being a stand-in CSO, let me know. So a bunch of us signed up, about
uh-huh.
a dozen people, and we're taking turns doing it, and it's fun. So he's given it over to other people to do, too, and he's asked for feedback.
What a great thing to do.
It is, and it's so easy, and it's become fun for everybody.
Well, I bet this has become a big hit, hasn't it?
Sure.
Ken, we got to wrap it up. Jim, I'm sorry. We were talking about Ken. Got to wrap
All
it up
right.
for this hour. Thank you for joining us.
You bet.
You did a great job.
Always a pleasure.
James Ballard, ladies and gentlemen, the author of What's the Rush? Harold Lacy is our good friend and our special guest this hour. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He is the author of...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.